grateful to have Tryston King here with me. Tryston, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. Tryston is, he's a high producing agent out in, it focuses in the Tri-City Coquitlam area out there. And, we're grateful to have him, get his insight on sort of what's going on in the market. I know, the year's been pretty crazy. So there's a lot we can talk about. And, I like to just sort of jump in and get a little bit idea of, how you got into real estate, what made you sort of think about it and go from there?
Yeah, no, for sure. It was a combination of a few things. I was always working in the customer service industry all the way through. My parents, on my mom's side, owned a restaurant.
Okay.
And my dad was always into basically renovating properties, selling them. And I've seen him basically increase his wealth through real estate. Mm. So I always had an inkling that maybe one day I'd kind of get into it. I went to school for marketing. And then one of my dad's good friends actually from high school is a top producing realtor in New West. And then it was a seamless transition, basically joined his team right away.
Yeah, no, I always find it interesting sort of how sort of people find the industries, right? Especially like mortgages or real estate, because it's, might not be the number one thing that comes to mind early on. Yeah. And it sounds like you kind of had a similar approach to me where I had, I grew up around a family mortgage company. So it was like, well, this is, I see the benefit of it. I see how we can help people. I see a lot of these different things and, obviously have success doing it. So it seems like, seeing your father, have success just in real estate, right? As an owner of properties would be kind of cool to see and get sort of that bug going inside of you. So that's great. Any idea of, I guess, really, what sort of do you love about, real estate and what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, no, good question. I guess every day is different. That's truly the biggest thing is that I'm a hard worker, so I do work around the clock and have no problem doing it because every day when I wake up, every situation is going to be different. Everyone's story is different and everyone's, it's almost like you're problem solving for each situation. So it just excites me. And, sometimes it's a rush, especially in a market like this, and it keeps everything interesting. So.
Yeah, it's, I know, I mean, if your side of things is a lot like ours this year, it's just, there's been a lot of, it's been a difficult time for people to buy a house, especially on the buying side of things. And there's been a lot of opportunity to kind of come in and sort of help, be there and guide them through that process because, it's not always been like this, it's really challenging out there. And so you mentioned your parents, I think, had a restaurant, which is kind of cool. If you weren't in the real estate world, do you see yourself doing anything else? Is there a passion of yours you have?
Yeah, well, definitely wouldn't be in the restaurant business. I definitely learned that right off the top. I had a couple different career paths that I liked. Architecture was one. So that does kind of relate to houses and, design and that kind of thing. And then going through school, public relations kind of caught my eye a little bit. That's a good question. I love real estate. So I haven't even really thought about that too much. Yeah.
That's probably the best answer. It means you're doing doing the right thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
We've talked about it a little bit. 2021, well, end of 2020, 2021 has been sort of a very, crazy year in Vancouver real estate, which seems like we always kind of say that kind of thing, but greater Vancouver real estate. Any advice on the current market from a seller or buyer's point of view, especially in sort of your target markets that you can give or that you have for them?
Yeah, it can be a real challenge for sure. I think one thing that comes to mind is that, a lot of these first-time home buyers that are trying to get into the market may feel like they can, especially when we're in an upward market like we're in right now, is they feel like they can save and then maybe buy a little bit better of a property later on. I mean, that could work just depending on what happens with the market here moving forward. But sometimes settling on a property that might not be the absolute dream property, kind of getting in and then riding the wave, building equity. And then down the road, you kind of make that move up the property ladder. That's one thing that I kind of see on a daily basis. So
Yeah, I like that. Like what you said there, it kind of, because of the fact that you said like get in, build equity. I mean, I'm a big fan of just being in the market, like just being in it, because then you can grow with it and sort of, you know, see, you know, whatever happens, you're sort of in it. So you're sort of isolated from being on the outside, or so because you're on the inside of it. So I like that you said that, because what we see so often over the years is a lot of clients doing that, you know, buy a place, maybe be there 3 years, 4 years, equity growth, get to the next place and sort of tier up the property ownership ladder because of the equity growth. And I mean, my wife and I did it, you know, we bought our first place, leveraged it, bought another place, kept it as a rental, you know, leveraged and then sold those to get a house. Like it was that similar trajectory that I think has been so successful and probably can continue to be, even when, you know, prices are challenging. However, you know, the good news is it's equity growth can be that much better. So exactly. Yeah, no, I like that you said that. Any memorable properties or just sort of transactions or situations that come to mind?
Yeah, this year, early 2021, looking out in Maple Ridge, under $1 million for a detached home with a suite. You could almost see, you know, every week, you know, the homes would sell higher and higher and higher. So after looking with this couple that I was working with for about, you know, 6 to 8 months, because we were dealing with 20 offers on these homes and eventually getting them a home, that was, you know, that phone conversation, once you're finally successful in such a challenging market, that was by far, that one definitely stands out.
Oh yeah, I mean, because you probably saw it, like the stress of looking, putting an offer, maybe not getting a place, and then doing it again, and then you know, over and over again. It was especially with first-time home buyers. It's you know, what I generally tell them right now, it's like, well, this isn't the normal. Like, this is normally not how it is. I mean, generally speaking, you can have a lot more, you know, subjects, or you know, be more patient. There'd be more opportunities because there's more inventory. You know, I don't know how that inventory solution or inventory problem fixes itself over time. I don't know what that looks like, but generally, from what I hear, is just a lack or shortage of homes for sale seems to be sort of the biggest driver of competition. Would you sort of see that happening in your areas?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, sometimes, you know, the conversations are difficult because you'll do an evaluation on the property and I can say on paper it's worth X. However, if that property was listed for the exact same as the last one sold and they had 40 showings at that property, I mean, it just comes down to how many offers are going to come through, right? So it's impossible to say, hey, it's going to sell here or here. It's kind of, you know, at that point where it's, you know, what do you kind of feel comfortable paying for the property? Mm-hmm. And it's really too bad, because as soon as that one sells at X, the next one's going to be the next record breaker, right? So, I mean, I think it's important with, you know, the realtor that you're working with to have good conversation, communication with the listing agent, just so you're, you know, you're fully in the loop.
And do so much more. What we've done is so much more upfront preparation. Like really, we need to do so much work before we even get to that offer stage, where it's, you know, have everything organized, especially from a mortgage point of view, but whether it's documentation, you know, crunching the numbers, like actually internally underwriting that so we know that it will get approved, like all these different things, potentially due diligence on the property itself, maybe pre-appraisal, pre-inspections, those kinds of things. So I'd imagine that it's just, you know, there's so much more upfront need to be done that, you know, it's do that and then do it again on the next place, you know. So it's constantly kind of like doing as best we can, sort of like prepping for like a football game almost, right? It's like we have all this, you know, game tape, seeing what's going on, and we're getting ready, and then it's like game day, as I hope for the best. And you just don't know what someone's going to be willing to offer for that place, like you said, where you can you know, numbers say one thing, but then, you know, it might be someone that's just, they've just fed up of offering and not getting a place. So they're going to pay more, and just having sort of that expectation that, you know, this could happen can, you know, it's just, you know, again, we'll see what happens coming into 2022. Hopefully it, you know, gets a little bit easier for people, and especially for buyers. And anything in your area, you know, just off the cuff here about because we're seeing a lot recently of potential sellers cautious about selling, primarily because of the fact that they don't know if there's a place that they can buy. Have you seen that at all? And you're in sort of the Tri-Cities area?
Yes, for sure. I mean, I have a database of clients right now, you know, a handful of them where it's that exact situation, right? Where they tell me, hey, Tristan, you know, especially if they're looking for something very specific, where, you know, they're worried about putting up their home for sale. And then, you know, even with that longer close, kind of finding the property in time. I mean, you know, there's a couple ways around it. You can buy first, get longer dates, and then sell. It totally depends on the situation. Or if you are going to sell first, make sure you have a backup plan, right? Being able to have a rental and that kind of thing. But yeah, like you're 100% right. I mean, I think that that does, you know, push or restricts inventory even that much more. And it just kind of adds to the problem and it's a snowball. So,
yeah, no, I like the idea of, well, trying to push out a closing. So then it gives you time to sell, which, you know, as long as, I guess, the seller that you're buying the property from is flexible on dates, can work very well, right? Because then it can turn around and it's almost like the opposite of, like, historically it'd be, well, sell your place, know what it sells for, we know how much cash you're going to get from it, and then let's go start looking at homes or start looking. It's like, we kind of might have to do it backwards now, where it's maybe, you know, sell first, then buy, or buy, then sell. Like, it's just like whatever fits sort of the current situation, because it's ever evolving. So well, thank you for that. I appreciate that, because I know it's a common question that I hear often of, do we do it now? Do we wait? What sequence of events happens? I mean, it's a very tricky problem, especially when you're dealing with where I live, right? This is a big decision. Oh, sorry, I cut you off.
No worries. Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I think it's important to understand the risk of both sides, right? And then just mitigating that risk as much as possible, right? So depending if you're selling, you know, if you're selling a townhouse and you're going out to a house, and that townhouse, especially in the markets I'm working within, not a problem. It's going to sell 100%, right? So,
Yeah, that's good to know. I talk about sort of house rich, more about creating, like, because being I do, like, I like the Smith maneuver strategy a lot. So creating tax deductibility of a mortgage, so creating equity to then actually turn that equity into some sort of investment vehicle instead of just equity, which is just sitting there not sort of having any benefit. So that's sort of a big thing that I talk to clients about, is really planning that out and planning how can we create wealth from equity growth in properties, whether it's buying rental properties, whether it's leveraged investing, things like that, to create that tax efficiency. When I say house rich, any thought, what does that mean to you with that term?
Yeah, I mean, I like it because it's a spinoff on house poor, right? So sometimes you hear some people say that they don't want to be house poor, but you know, I think, like, obviously leveraging to your where you're comfortable. If you look at, you know, you have $200,000 in a home that's worth $1 million, that home goes up 20%, you're actually up 100% on the money that you have in there. And then, like you're saying, right, then you can kind of reallocate your funds. So I'm a big believer in holding a lot of your wealth in real estate. It's, you know, it's a great investment, especially with what's happening right now with inflation, obviously, right? So I like that.
Well, it hasn't let us down. I mean, I've been in the mortgage world for, let's say, 15 sort of some odd years, grew up around it too. But I mean, over that time, it's always been prices can't keep going up. I mean, it's like literally, like, you know, it's like, well, at that time when I first started, it's like, well, maybe they're right. Now it's like, well, I don't know. This is a long sample size of, you know, values being strong. I think what it comes back to is, you know, Canada is super desirable. Vancouver, arguably, I would say, like, where we live in the Lower Mainland, the best place in Canada, from my point of view. So it's like, well, you're going to get people that want to be here. And it's not just, you know, and then I would say with, you know, immigration picking up and sort of travel restrictions easing, they'll probably get more of that sort of foreign investment potentially again over time, which could potentially stir even more people interested in buying a place. So it'll be interesting for the next few years. But no, this was fun, Tristan. Thank you for your insight. Any what if anyone's looking in, you know, it sounds like particularly Coquitlam, Tri-Cities, out that sort of Burnaby way, any sort of, oh, or Maple Ridge even you mentioned, because I know it's all interconnected now. It's kind of, you know, it's so easy accessible between them all. Where's the best place to find you and contact you?
Yeah, so my website, tristanking.ca, my first name's a little bit difficult. It's T-R-Y-S-T-A-N. And then again, tristanking_ on Instagram. That's probably where I'm most active. Or you can just look up my name on Google and you'll find me. So
wonderful. We'll put that all in the notes and just sort of all the links to connect with you. So again, Tristan, thank you. Grateful for the opportunity to have you on. Your insight, your expertise has been, you know, very, very helpful. And I'm sure everyone will be very much appreciated. And we'll make sure to include the contact information of how to reach you, how to connect with you. And, you know, thanks again. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
Wonderful.